When was the last time you refreshed your bedding? Sleep cooler with Avocado's naturally breathable, certified organic sheets. Choose from GOTS-certified organic cotton, linen, or hemp, all made-safe certified to the highest standards of non-toxic safety, delivering the ultimate in luxury, sustainability, and style, and a deeper, more restorative sleep. Join Avocado's mission to be one of the world's most sustainable brands at avocadomattress.com.
Hello and welcome to another episode of the Mark Gross Podcast. I have done such a deep dive in the last couple of years, and if you've been following the podcast for a while, you know that I've added a lot more content that's related to nutrition and diet and our bodies, because this is your home. The life force that pours through you is important, and I had to remind myself of that, that of course what I put in my body matters, you know, smashing a bunch of booze and then the next morning having a spicy chicken combo from Wendy's, although can be a fun time, I also recognize that I actually just don't feel better doing that. And, you know, where some really big light bulbs came up years ago before, you know, probably 11 years ago, was talking to my friend Dan, and I was saying to him that I wanted to meet somebody. You know, meet a person that I could be in relationship with. And he said to me, well, where do you think you're going to meet them? And I said, well, you know, I get fear of missing out if I don't go out. So I was, at that time, I was going out like once seriously a week, like going out harder, drinking, or, you know, maybe twice. And he said to me, because I thought, well, if I don't go out tonight, then I might miss on meeting my person. And he said to me, you know, out of all the times you've been out in your life, how many times is that? And I'm like, I don't know, probably 1,000. I wasn't sure. It's a lot, though. And he said, out of all those nights you've been out, how many times have you met someone that you ended up in a significant, serious relationship with? And I thought, once. Yeah, maybe twice. And he was like, okay, what do you give up when you do that? And I was like, wow, I trade getting up early, hiking, doing things I love, being in nature. And he said to me, what do you think the chances are that you'll meet someone you resonate with doing that? And I remember feeling a lot like getting smashed by a cosmic 2x4 thinking, oh yeah, that's I've got this all wrong. So the journey into understanding why we make those choices and what those choices do in our lives, and also the large misconceptions about health. I interviewed the interview that I'm sharing today with you. I did with this guy before the recent election in the United States. And the reason I give that reference is it was before MAHA actually getting in, Make America Healthy Again. And of course, I can understand the different challenges with, you know, people being upset with the current administration, people being excited about it. So leaving the politics aside, if you could do that, I think we can all do that. And just actually recognizing the value in a thing like Making America Healthy Again. I do think it's crazy that the proposition is let's get more data about some of these things. And people are up in arms about it. You know, and to me, there is so much importance in looking at the crossover from how people who worked at the FDA end up working in pharma, how we have all these lobbyists in these groups that impact big food, big ag, and big pharma, and all of these things that we're eating feed metabolic disease, and then we treat metabolic disease. You know, how many people have been told, if you were told you have type 2 diabetes, insulin resistance, that you can reverse it? That's not a common conversation at traditional medicine. I'm not saying some doctors don't do it, but the majority, especially up until recently, did not have that conversation with you. Here's metformin, here's these drugs to take, and here's Ozempic. Not, hey, actually, let's get to the core of this. Now, it's a lot easier to take drugs than to deal with our body's inability to process things like sugars and carbohydrates. But I'm actually looking at what is at the core of these so that we can heal. I'm not interested in, look, I know there's times when we need medicine to rescue our bodies, of course, especially in acute issues. and to give our body some rest so it can heal. I get that. I'm not a black and white thinking about it, but I am saying that there is an opportunity for us to recognize all of the ways in which we can heal and completely change our lives. And when we take that level of ownership over our health, it transcends to everything in our life. And this is why I think change that occurs from a dietary and exercise perspective actually creates momentum to create boundaries and choice in every area of your life, because you start to feel a bit of a strut, a bit of a swagger. So with all that said, I'm so excited to share today's episode with you, where we dive into health, we dive into diet, we dive into Brian Sanders' journey. He's the founder of the Sapien Center in Austin, Texas. Great human being. So excited to have him on. And I can't wait for you to listen to this episode. Before we dive in, please hit that subscribe button wherever you listen to this podcast. And let's go. Hello, and welcome to another episode of the Mark Groves Podcast. Today, I have Brian Sanders. Brian, welcome.
Hello. Thank you.
And I'm so excited to have you here. I've followed you for a long time on Instagram on your account, Food Lies, which just the name of it alone was enough for me to be like, this guy's on to something. But then you would share these articles from mainstream publications where they would make claims about certain things, and you would demonstrate like what the lies were about this. And having been in pharma for years and then coming out of that, I was just like, man, the level of deception that has happened in our food industry, but I think just in general about what true health is so layered in so many systems. And I'm curious, like what, one, made you start that account, and then two, like made you even begin the journey?
Yeah. There's a lot of waking up going on, especially 4.5 years ago when the COVID thing happened. Luckily, I woke up 10 years ago and I actually made just simple changes in my diet. I actually read Mark Sisson's book, Primal Blueprint, and he was just talking about getting rid of seed oils and added sugars and refined grains. And it completely changed my body composition and my health. Mm. And that was also the time, actually sad story, I started losing both my parents. So this was when I was about 30, and my dad had cancer and my mom had Alzheimer's. And so we lost my dad around then. And my mom was slowly declining until, I mean, for the last three years, she was not even able to talk, move, do anything, completely in a vegetative state. And we finally lost her 2 months ago. So, So now, I have no parents, but I have a new mission, and it's to, you know, not get these chronic diseases that everyone gets and thinks are normal. We just go along with normal society and you just think you just gain a pound a year and you just gain a medication every couple years. And then you're 60, you're, you know, 30, 40 pounds overweight, and you're on 6 medications, and that's the norm. And that's what everyone thinks is supposed to happen. And I quickly realized that with just a simple change in just getting rid of those three ingredients, which means you're not eating basically any processed foods. Mm-hmm. And that was the big awakening. When it's so good when you can just see the proof yourself.
Right.
Right. It's not like, oh, I'm going to have to read some study to prove this. I proved it in my own body in a matter of months, completely changed.
Wow.
I had overuse injuries, this chronic inflammation type stuff, you know, overuse computer stuff. I had acid reflux. I had like 25 extra pounds of fat. I had just all these symptoms of being the modern man, you know, the dad bod, that whole life at 30. And I was doing things correctly too. There's another part of the story is we did the food pyramid. We were the suckers that believed in the food pyramid. My family did that for their whole life, really. We were not going out to eat a lot. We were a modest family, you know, just my mom was a teacher, you know.
Yeah.
We were just making our own meals. Like, it was a big treat to go out to fast food. So we were doing the chicken breasts and avoiding red meat, low fat dressing, salad, you know, that's just the whole thing.
Yeah.
And it almost works, but it doesn't. Mm-hmm. It keeps you just, it gives you just enough nutrition to get by, But then you slowly just gain weight and these problems, I think, because I don't think that's what we're supposed to eat. So I was doing that until 30. I was making my own food too and doing all the same things that my parents did that led to their chronic diseases. And then people just say it's genetic.
Right, right.
And so yeah, that's basically the beginning of my journey, is realizing it's not genetic. I very quickly changed. The government guidelines were wrong. And then, I mean, I just got more and more red pilled from there and realized so many things in society are backwards.
That's the part that I think is so, for me, my wake up was relational. I mean, I woke up relationally because I went through a breakup of an engagement, and I all of a sudden was like, holy shit, everything I've been taught about relationship, which is almost nothing, at school or in my, you know, the passive lessons I've been given by religion, et cetera. I was like, man, I feel so lied to. Like, no one told me they were going to be really hard. No one told me that you needed these specific skill sets to do it. And I felt like growing up Catholic, I just felt really lied to by the church too, which that's obviously a whole other, probably a whole other podcast. But when I, that made me start to question things. And it wasn't, it was like when I ended that engagement, I just all of a sudden could see all these people unhappy in relationship. And that was just normal. Mm-hmm. It was normal to not like your partner. It was normal to like stay with them forever to get the accolade, but to be disconnected. And I was like, fuck that. Like, I don't want that. I want, like, there are people who love each other who stay together, but there's also people who dislike each other who stay together. And I was like, what is the difference? And once I started to question that, then like you said, it's like the red pills just kept coming, because all of a sudden I was like, well, if that's not true. And really what really tipped me into probably more of an identity crisis was when I had a high cholesterol result on a blood test. And the instant I got the result, the walk-in clinic I went to in Canada, the doctor offered me, he was like, oh, you got to go to a lipid clinic. And I was like, what? You haven't even asked me what I'm eating. Like, I was an athlete and I was trying different diets. I was just trying things, but I had no idea about like high carb versus high fat and ketosis. And I had none of it. Mm-hmm. I was just like reading stuff. Mm-hmm. But then I went on the threads about cholesterol on, I think it was like the Bulletproof stuff. Mm-hmm. And I was like, my mind got blown. But I also, what was the identity part, is I actually sold a statin. As my very first job, I sold a statin when I was fresh out of college. For 3 months, it got pulled off the market. But I just look back now and I'm like, yeah, I just realize how much as a human living in today, which I think your account really serves as this in a lot of ways, and why I like it, is that you have to increase your capacity to hold the grief that the people you're supposed to trust have actually been lying. That's so hard to even, because then even in COVID, you're going like, that just made me go, okay, well, let me just look at the stuff. Yeah, what do you think about?
Well, yeah, we grow up being conditioned to trust authority, and you obviously trust your parents.
Yeah.
But then it extends to your teachers, and then it extends to the government officials, and then it extends to everything. So I think we're kind of conditioned as a society on purpose to just blindly trust the institutions and the powers that be. And so it's hard to unravel that. And it's a kind of a long journey too. And I'm glad that I started 10 years ago, so I didn't fall for all the stuff that happened around COVID. I was already ready to question things. And then, so then from day one, I wasn't buying into this. And so, yeah, but not everyone's ready for that. There's the whole generation, especially the older generations. I go around talking about food and nutrition constantly, right? I'm making this docuseries. That's why I started my account too. The Food Lies Instagram is just for the Food Lies docuseries, which has been a 7-year project.
Which is great. I saw the first episode. So fantastic.
Oh, yeah. Thank you. Yeah, we're still working. But I learned a lot along the way. And I learned about starting to open your eyes to the different way of thinking and the the powers that be don't have your best interests in mind.
No.
And it took a while though, because I didn't get it at first. Like I trusted everything. I thought, well, the food stuff's wrong and the health stuff's wrong, but they got everything else right. And then once COVID happened, I was like, oh no. Maybe I have to rethink everything. Like all of the things, like the education system and the monetary system and the like anything to do with our society is kind of just made for the people at the top. Then I was thinking back even to the Egyptians, pharaohs and slaves. And I realized it kind of, there's this law of nature that what's good for the people at the top is bad for the people at the bottom. And it's just how it is. It's like what's good for the pharaoh is to have a bunch of slaves doing the work and making no money and getting gruel and just to serve him. And then it's also the inverse. What's good for the people at the bottom is kind of bad for the people at the top.
Yeah.
The people at the bottom are strong and robust and they don't need tons of pills and medications and all this stuff. They're no good to the people at the top that want to make money off all that.
Yeah.
So that's when I really woke up, is that there's just this law of nature that's how it works.
Yeah.
And so once you realize that, then you can question things. It's like, well, why are we conditioned to always trust the government and everything? It's because, well, that's how the system works. Even the education system, why do we go to school to learn to be a cog in the machine? You're not really taught critical thinking.
I literally couldn't be more of a super fan of Cozy Earth products. Ever since the first day that Cozy Earth sheets graced my skin, and I don't say that as an exaggeration, I was staying at my sister-in-law's, I got in the bed, and I was like, what is happening? It was one of the most cozy, and I don't even mean the pun there, experiences I've ever had. You know that feeling when you're so comfortable in bed and you're just like, what is happening here? What are the ingredients that are making this experience? And so every single bed, every single house, every single rental I've ever been in always has Cozy Earth sheets. And if I gift them to people, oh my Lord. And now they're making pajamas. Are you kidding me? You're walking around with the same feeling. They've got joggers. All of it is next level, seriously. So not only do they make my home feel like a sanctuary, I bought these bamboo pajamas for my mom and my wife as Mother's Day gifts, and they are so excited about it. So if you're looking for a Mother's Day gift for a special mama, or you're just looking to treat yourself, because hey, yo, treat yourself. You want a cooler sleep. You want unmatched softness. You want everyday luxury of a premium loungewear. Do not wait another day. Use the code MARK and you get 40% off these pajamas or any of their products. I mean, you probably want the sheets after I'm talking about them. Greatest Mother's Day gift. Take care of it. Check. You're going to thank me later. Go to markgroves.com/cozyearth and use the code MARK and you get 40% off.
I read this book called The Deliberate Dumbing Down of America by Charlotte Iserby. You can get it for free online now. It's like a PDF. She wrote it decades ago. And it chronicled the education system and how it was purposely from the people at the top, from these powers that be that control things, I think. It's not like, I don't think there's like a secret cabal of like 10 people that are all on the same page.
Yeah, bunch of lizards.
No. I think it's more of this loose group of people that have common interests and goals, and they've gained so much power and wealth hundreds of years ago that they can continue that. And they just...
I mean, I agree with you. It's like, what is it of, is it 5 or 6 organizations own almost all the media in the world?
Yep.
Like the mainstream media outlets. So...
That's a piece of it. Yeah. So the education system... they needed to control all of these things. So control the education system. And she documented in this book of how they, instead of teaching critical thinking, they just teach you to just be a cog in the machine. They call it Skinnerian tactics. It's like training a dog. It's just like, here's a treat, do it. And that's how they purposely made the education system and how they have all these like ultra woke universities. Once I read this book, it blew my mind that it turned out better than they thought. These were people in the early 1900s that set the system down this path, and it turned out even better than they could have ever imagined. I was imagining them rolling in their graves, laughing of like how crazy it's gotten.
Yeah, because they're playing the long game, you know, the generational game.
Yeah.
Which is interesting because like you look at the founding of the AMA, the American Medical Association, you look at where chemotherapy came from. All these different, when you dive deeper into the origins of these things, you actually see that they were born from the desire to create profit. Like where the AMA is created to educate physicians, to license physicians to be able to prescribe products through, I believe it was Rockefeller.
Yeah.
Is that right?
And the AHA too, the American Heart Association. That kind of started with a grant, a big funding from Crisco and like seed oil.
Which is why, well, margarine.
Margarine,
like,
yeah.
These lower LDL.
Yeah.
But it's like, oh my God, this is when you get deeper into the data, even how they're made.
Yeah.
Like.
Oh, it's like a 16-step process to make these vegetable oils, you know, seed oils. So no, you're right. The Rockefeller Group, there's a great little documentary type of thing that's hard to find on the internet, of course, because they don't want you to find it, called Rockefeller Medicine. And I think James Corbett, he made it, Rockefeller Medicine. And it's like an hour, and it tells you how they changed the medical system from being about root cause health, you know, holistic medicine, doctors actually trying to treat the root cause of disease, to the pills and procedures model. And
right.
it is on
and
purpose.
Demonizing natural medicine. Yes. Herbs and, yeah.
They invented the word quack. So that was just some of the, it's a PR move. They said, we need to discredit and demonize natural medicine. And they invented the word quack to talk about natural practitioners.
The propaganda is brilliant. Like,
it
I
is.
Look now at the what occurred in the last 4 years, and I'm like, that was the fastest. Like, they must have been like, I can't believe everyone's just doing this. This is amazing. And you could tell it was a coordinated global messaging. Mm-hmm. Which again, I'm not, it's a global cabal, it's blah, blah, blah. That could be true, but it just doesn't serve me to go deep into that space. For me, I just go like, okay, there's corporate profits, share held companies mm-hmm. that are running these things. And shareholders, the number one desired outcome is profit. Mm-hmm. So profit above everything. And so, like, of course the machine mm-hmm. of pharma is going to work with the machine of media, because it just drives, the more fear you put in a media, the more ad sales you get, the more everything. So it's like this feedback mechanism, this symbiotic system that, as you said, doesn't take into account the psychological and physiological impact on the people consuming it, who are being monetized, who are being extracted from. So I look at, you know, the way that the messaging was launched for COVID, and I'm like, wow, it was like have each other's back, like all the specific messaging from all of the developed countries. And I was like, well, that's not by accident. Like, I worked in pharma. Like, they have specific marketing messages that they get, that you're supposed to, like, you have usually an order of messages.
Mm-hmm.
And the one order is the first message you always want to give if you only mm-hmm. have 5 seconds. So it's like, you see the doctor between patients and you're like, remember, this product lowers LDL by 5%. Have a great day. Like, that's how it was done.
Yeah, well, speaking of, there's a document called Operation Lockstep. There's a document from 2010, actually from the Rockefeller Group. They have these think tanks. And this document became kind of famous in the COVID era because people looked it up and they actually mapped out, they had these scenarios for the future that they mapped out. And they basically figured out how to get everyone on the same page worldwide. And this document, people got to look up. You can find the PDF called Operation Lockstep.
We'll link it in the
and
show notes.
It talks about a global pandemic. Instead of China, it came out of Brazil or somewhere, South America. And it talked about at first the people didn't want to follow, but then with the media and with enough scare tactics, they said there's a line in there that was something like, soon the people accepted the top-down authoritarian control. And there's all these just key lines that will blow your mind. I'm not going to remember them off the top of my head right now, but it was amazing that this was in 2010 that they started thinking about what would happen if there was some sort of global thing and how they could take control and use propaganda to get the people to do what they wanted.
Well, they tried to with SARS-CoV-1.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
It failed.
Yeah.
To like really create this pandemic. And, you know, I think what people have a hard time actually, like, even in us mentioning COVID, people have a hard time exploring the subject of COVID because I think, one, people are still traumatized.
Mm-hmm.
But two, I think there's a lot of shame. A lot of shame for being captured, for being bamboozled, for being, Because, you know, our self-perception is fragile. You know, like we have to, in order to be great at relationship and great at community and great at whatever sort of human relating and leadership, you have to have humility. You have to be able to look at, I fucked up. I can be captured by ideology. Wow, when I'm really afraid, I can become a prick. Wait, when I'm really afraid, I'm actually willing to dehumanize people. I'm willing to take in information and dismiss information, which is a natural human tendency that contradicts my behavior. And so it's really interesting because you do see this like resistance, but I'm like, man, you got to go into the shame because that's what will liberate you is the recognition. Because if you could be captured by through fear and ideology, you could be captured within interpersonal relationship by abusers, by narcissists, by gaslighting. And really, I see that at the basis of the behavior of abandoning one's sovereignty for collectivism, which, of course, there's aspects of togetherness that are important, groups that are important. I mean, groupthink exists from an evolutionary reason, for sure. Assimilation of idea means safety generally, and assimilation of value and homogeny of perspective. Mm-hmm. But you really see that this is really like the fear of standing in one's own power at the cost of losing relationships.
Well, people, I think they do have this shame because they got tricked. My family even uninvited me from Christmas a few years ago. And that is hard to come back from. I think you're right. I never thought about that in that regard of like, they're shameful. They feel the shame that they got tricked. I got uninvited from Christmas. Back home in Hawaii, I was born and raised on Oahu, and my family said, you're not allowed because you're not vaccinated. You're not allowed at Christmas dinner, which was something I've never missed in my whole life. I've been to every single Christmas dinner.
Think about the impact of that emotionally, but the fractures relationally. For me, that's like where the line was crossed for me, was the recognition that they were weaponizing and violating the sacredness of interpersonal connections. They were using family relationships to try to get you to get a product. They actually were willing for you to be exiled from your family.
Yeah.
They were willing for me to lose friends, all for a sacred sauce that was an experimental gene therapy. And they changed. I mean, the level of deception is actually quite extensive, but we have to be with like, how painful is that for the person who doesn't invite you? That, see, we think it's just the person who,
I got hurt, but no.
Which is true.
Yeah.
But actually to be able to get to a psychological state where you're willing to not invite your son, your cousin, your nephew, whatever it is it's a really actually a dark place for everybody. And I think that's actually the part that needs to be explored is like, we have to repair from that. But I saw that happening with politics before in the States more than anywhere, where if someone all of a sudden voted for Trump, it was like,
you're out.
Yeah. And I didn't see the same. Now I see it maybe because it's a reactive mechanism to the dehumanization, which I'm saying it exists on all sides, of course. But I really saw it with anyone who voted for Trump early. Now, if someone votes for Biden, same thing, Kamala, same thing. It's like, whoa, you know, there's the same language on the other side. Sheep, you know, whatever it is. But I'm like, that's the same. It's like in 2017, it was like people didn't get involved. All of a sudden you didn't talk to your uncle anymore because he voted for Trump.
Oh yeah. He's like this crazy Trumper now.
Yeah.
Okay. So for one, my sister got basically exiled from LA because she didn't want to get vaccinated either. She kind of woke up and she lost all her friends and lost all her jobs and luckily came out here to Texas. But I think the politics stuff is also part of the plan. I don't want to sound like a tinfoil hat guy, but probably your audience understands a lot of this, that having that divide is also part of the plan.
Yeah.
And I think it's kind of this political stuff is two sides of the same coin. Like, I don't buy into any of it. I think it's there to make people fight and divide people, just like you're talking about. And that it really, I think it's controlled at a higher level, that the same thing's going to happen. Either side wins. We're still going to be in the endless wars. We're still going to be.
The fuckery is still going to continue.
And And I want to like go back, wrap around what, like how this was all laid out. I actually had a mentor in all this in the last 4.5 years, a guy I grew up with who's been red pilled for 18 years, really deep, really smart guy. And so he took me through this. I finally came to him second week of COVID. I'm like, hey, this is not making sense. And he said, okay, are you ready? And so no, he kind of put it together. And now I've kind of thought about this. We were talking about the media. The media is controlled by everyone. We talked about the medical system, right? That's been kind of taken over and shaped into a pills and procedures model instead of root cause. We're talking about education system has been molded. There's the monetary system too. So I don't know, have you gotten into the Federal Reserve and what happened in 1913? You heard about anything?
No, I'll get into it, but I do remember watching Zeitgeist.
Yeah.
Where they layer like financial 9/11 and some other.
I remember that. Yeah. So they got probably a lot right with the Federal Reserve. They kind of did an overview. There's many books on it. This is just common knowledge. The Federal Reserve is not part of the government. In 1913, this group of bankers and these ultra wealthy people made money steal oil, railroads in the early 1900s, had enough power to take away the monetary system from the federal government. So now it's separate and they control the money printing, and they basically just get people into debt and just continue this cycle. So if you control all of these big systems, then you control everything. And the media is just the PR arm of it all. So if you control the monetary system, the education system, the food, the pharma, then all you need is the media to just give people the propaganda, and then you have everyone under your thumb. So I started learning about this, and I checked all of the things that my friend was telling me about and would read. I wouldn't just go to a blog and read some random person's blog. I'd go back to books or documents from 1900s to verify what he was talking about. And yeah, that's where I came to these conclusions of just the powers that, you know, just what's good for the top is bad for the bottom. Just realizing that this is just how society works. Realizing that what you're talking about, corporate shareholders and profit. If you just think of it in that way, you understand how everything works. Yeah. And then I wasn't so lost, because he's like, you're not going to like this information. It's only going to hurt you. But I thought it helped me, because now I just am more at peace with why things are so backwards, because I just understand who's pulling the strings.
That makes a lot of sense, because, you know, it's like we've been resolving pharma pills, as you said, pills and procedures. We've doubled, tripled, quadrupled, whatever the multiplication is, since, you know, the 1950s.
Mm-hmm.
And we have seen no improvement of health.
We spend the most on health and have the worst outcomes in the world.
Which is wild. And so then you look at I remember listening to Callie and Casey Means, their podcast episode that they did with Tucker Carlson, which was really fascinating. And, you know, for you listening or watching, whatever your opinion of Tucker, Callie and Casey are like from DC. He used to be a lobbyist for, I think, Coke.
Yep.
She was doing her surgical fellowship residency with Stanford. And they were talking about how, like, historically, some of the largest acquisitions in U.S. history are when regulations started to come down on tobacco, mm-hmm. and then they bought
mm-hmm.
big food. And I was like, man, that makes so much sense. And then all their lobbyists from tobacco went over to food. And then, as you were saying earlier, the food pyramid was created. And so it's like, yes, you're right. Like, all these systems actually require each other. And it's like, if you're really afraid and you're really undernourished, and you're having a hard time paying your bills, and you're buried in debt, what do you need? You're then going to have more anxiety. Oh, now we have a social media paradigm that will happily feed you dopamine and get you on a cycle of addiction to then keep you in the loop where you never feel like enough, because you're following all these booty Instagrams and all the, you know, perfect lives.
Mm-hmm.
And then the desire is to become an influencer or whatever. And it's like the loop just continues, which is like, that was my challenge with, which I'm coming to a recognition that that social media might be like the cold calling of today, you know, like back when I was in sales, when before social media existed, you had to do a lot of fucking hard work. You had to do shit you didn't like. But I think it's hard to figure out till you can leave something, you can't choose it. Do you know what I'm saying? Mm. Like that's, I knew that relationally, that like you need to know that you always can, that you have access to a no. So then your yes is real. But if you don't have access to no with alcohol or no with social media or no with chaotic, toxic relationships, you don't have access to an actual yes. It makes sense?
Yeah, you feel trapped. Now, I've been thinking about this a lot. Yeah, like I think about the power dynamics of like if you are, say, dating your subordinate, your employee, they might not really have an the ability to say no.
Yeah, because the power dynamics.
Yeah.
Yeah, their salary is on that. Like, there's so many. I mean, that's why rules technically exist for all that kind of stuff. And power dynamics, of course, are going to exist. That's just the way human systems operate. But it's like let's say, for example, my wife and I, when she delivered our son, you know, she wasn't working as much and I was working and then taking care of us. But what was really an important part of our conversation, which was like, hey, I know that right now you're not working. What would you need to have access to financially so that you feel free? And that's a lot of conversation most people have, because I recognize that historically the power dynamic of the male provider often makes it so the woman doesn't have access to her voice. And so I was like, what would you need so that your voice is actually accessible fully? And so it was I didn't care. It wasn't like affecting me. I didn't feel like less than or fearful that she would leave. I actually want her to have access to every aspect of her expression. You know what I mean?
It's better when you're seeing eye to eye and
So when you look at your discovery 10 years ago, simplicity of like just changing those three things and then developing much more health, right? Like fitness, would you say like, did it transcend everything, mental clarity, everything?
Yeah. That's, I think it's the foundation. It's like the nutrition is the foundation. There's so many important parts to your health. And people argue of which one's more important. Some people will sleep is the most important. Some people say your mindset and, you know, and I guess since I'm in the nutrition world, I come at it from a nutrition angle, but I really do think it's foundational that if you get your nutrition right, you go back to what humans are supposed to eat. You can thrive. You can feel better. And then everything else can fall into place. So some people can still have some of the things figured out, but they're always going to be brought down if their nutrition's not right. Yeah, so there's a quote that a healthy man has many wishes, but a sick man has one wish, right? If you're not well, like you'll pay any money to be well.
Yeah,
right?
You'll
do anything. So like that is the foundation. And if humans get their food right, then you can sleep better. Then you can think better. Then you can have better relationships. So yeah, I always start with the food and then go from there. And it's actually, there's five pillars to being human, I think. And these are the things you can't fake. Like there's pills, you know, pills and procedures can help with certain things. Obviously, I think there's a time and place. If you get in a car accident, you need some procedures.
Yeah.
But you can't cheat nature in these five pillars of being human, right? I got really into just thinking, my new stuff's called Sapien, right? It's just like going back to human. And you can't cheat nature in the five pillars of being human. So with the food, you can't have Impossible Burgers or the Beyond Meat, right? You can't put together a bunch of stuff, right? Just random plant materials and fake iron and soybean oil and make meat.
Right.
It's not possible.
It's not meat.
It's alchemy though. But think of it like bigger. Like that is alchemy. It's cows were put on this earth and they co-evolved with grasslands and with everything around us. And they eat the grass and they turn it into a highly nutritious bioavailable protein and nutrient source for humans. And all the grasses they eat and all of what they take in, there are millions and billions of little things going on that put nutrients and secondary compounds and phytonutrients. They're doing great science now. I've interviewed some of these guys, Dr. Stefan von Vliet, looking at 50,000 secondary compounds. They're using mass spectrometer to look at what's in meat, and that he can see that the beyond meat, the fake meat, is nothing like normal meat, which is also nothing like regenerative meat. If you have the cow or the cattle out on grass eating a diverse species of whatever they can find, that is way better than just a feedlot beef.
Oh, yeah.
Right? So they can actually start to prove this now, to look at all these secondary comments. So the point is, it's alchemy to think that you can just put together some things in a lab and make it as good as meat, or even as sustainable as meat. They think that it's better for the environment. It's not. How many inputs are there to create the fake meat? These labs, these giant labs, and there's all this refrigeration and energy required, and there's all these inputs and antibacterial agents and this and that. That's not going to do better cosmically, nutritionally, or from the environmental energy perspective than the real thing. You put a cow out on grass and it produces meat. So nutrition-wise, you can't cheat nature. You can't, I don't think it's possible, even 100 years in the future, 1,000 years in the future, to put together something that is equivalent to what nature can provide, right?
100%.
It's not, it's alchemy. Yeah. It's like, okay, then, but you can't build a machine that can exercise for you.
Right.
The whole point is you right. have to do the exercise.
Yeah.
We're not going to invent something in 1,000 years that you just like take a pill and you just exercise. That doesn't make any sense. The whole point of building a muscle is that you did the work and
right.
you're right. So you can't cheat nature in movement, in its exercise. You can't cheat in sleep. Again, thought experiment. I love doing these thought experiments. 1,000 years from now, do you think we can have a pill where you can sleep for 2 hours, but it's like you slept for 8? No.
No.
It's not, it doesn't make any sense. Your brain has to clean out and do all these processes. You need to go into the REM cycles. You need to do all these things. It's not going to work. So there's sleep. Then there's, I guess I call like sunlight or nature, right? You can't just take a vitamin D pill and it's like going out and getting sun.
Right.
You need real sun. Like humans, animals need this. Like if you were stuck in a cave, you would eventually die. Your immune system would shut down. You're not getting the vitamin D. And then the last one is community.
Mm.
And you can't cheat that either. We're talking about social media. You got off social media. That is fake community,
yeah,
right? You think you have a lot of friends. Oh man, I have like 1,000 followers. I have 1,000,000 followers. I'm so popular. These people aren't your real friends.
Right.
I mean, I still use social media, but I also—
I think it's valuable.
Yeah,
I think
yeah.
I'm like just learning how to relate to it.
Yes. But it's a good lesson in that you can't cheat nature in the fundamentals of being human. Yes, you can cheat nature and go on an airplane, right? Yes. Oh, we cheated nature. We just got across the whole world in 8 hours. Like yeah. that is technically cheating nature, but it's not a fundamental of being human,
no,
right? We didn't right. cheat anything of the pillars of being human. We just got somewhere very quickly.
Why do you think we have a predisposition to want to find these shortcuts? Like ultimately pharma, I agree with you, like allopathic medicine, important in acute trauma, all that kind of stuff, and obviously tremendous advances in that space. But it's like, why do you think it appeals to us so much to take fucking Ozempic than to actually get our metabolic health in check, learn how to eat less? You know, like I noticed when I changed my diet and went to like very protein rich, basically, I don't eat any refined sugars, seed oils, breads, any of that mm-hmm. anymore. And my body completely changed. All of a sudden, I felt so good. All these times I've been like yo-yoing 10 to 15 pounds. All of a sudden, I'm like, it's been 2 years and I haven't put a single pound back on.
And you don't have to count calories either.
No, and I just like eat a lot of protein and I feel full. I feel good. And I just look back now and I'm like, man, and my metabolic health gets more in check. Like everything transcends that. I'm more mental clarity, more energy, all the things. And now I love getting up early in the morning. Like everything has transcended. And I'm like, why is it that it's so appealing to us?
I thought about this too. The more I get into this stuff, the more I try to zoom out. So even with Food Lies, 7 years ago when I started, it was kind of like a low carb film. And then I realized that's not it. It's not, carbs are not the problem. Processed carbs are the problem. Fat's not the problem. Processed fat is the problem, right? So I zoomed out and then the film's much better. It was a series. And my outlook on nutrition is much better because I can't be proven wrong as easily because I'm zooming out and being, you know, I'm thinking about it from all angles because I don't want to be wrong,
Right.
Right. So, okay. So I always zoom out more and try to not be wrong. Number one goal, don't be wrong. Right. I don't want to get debunked. I don't want to put out this series and then get debunked. Right. Yeah. So when you start thinking that way, then you keep zooming out. And then this is going to lead to your question of humans. When you zoom out enough, there's another fundamental law of human nature is that we want to get away with things. We want to innovate. We want to create shortcuts. It's just sort of a fact of being human. I was with the hunter-gatherers in Tanzania, and they don't want to go hunt for 10 hours a day. Like, if they could find a shortcut and hunt for 4 hours, they would do that.
Right.
Right? You know, and then innovation too, right? It's like, look, so much of society is built on innovation, trying to get the next phone, the next thing. It's not that there's just some weird group of people that just want to create the next phone. It's that there's a fundamental law of nature that we just always want to improve things.
Yeah.
So we're just, that's something to do with being human is
efficiency. That makes sense from an evolutionary perspective.
And another part of that, which I guess is different, is instant gratification. There's just something there where most people just want the instant gratification. You know, and of course everyone knows about the marshmallow experiment, the old story, right? You know, if you one marshmallow now or two marshmallows later, and the people with the kids with two marshmallows later were more successful. So
I would have taken the one marshmallow. I already know. I would have.
It's hard. Yeah. I mean, in my old life, I would have, but then I learned about instant gratification and that to do something really special, I think most all successful people don't take the one marshmallow. I think as you've grown as a person, you've probably realized that you have to do a lot of things.
Yeah. The values in the more challenging or the, not to say that simplicity shouldn't be there or ease. You know what? I broke the law when I was 17. Mm-hmm. I got in trouble, and my uncle, who passed maybe like 5 years later, so God bless him, he said to me something that completely like shifted my perspective. He said, you know, Mark, and he wasn't even talking about specifically that. We were sitting on the steps in the front of our house, and he said, you know, there's two paths in life. There's the easy path, and there's the other path, and the only thing good about the easy path is that it's easy. And I remember, like, you know, when you hear something and you're like, yeah, cool. But years later, that I got asked in a job interview what was like the most profound thing I've ever read or heard. And that came to me and I got the job. And I realized, like, so much of that, like, the humans are addicted to the positive outcome, right? Like, if I have a set a boundary with somebody, they have to agree to my boundary. Like, that, if they agree to it, then I'm successful. And I say to people, no, it's actually like the expression of your voice that is the win. And, you know, the juice is in the journey, the victory is in the process, not the outcome. And I think like all the things you're saying about really actually being intentional with all this stuff. Because even what you said about community, when you look at the research on like change and actually consistent, lengthy change, if someone gets, you know, has a heart attack, the compliance post heart attack is actually pretty low. It's initially really high because they just faced death. So we would think like death is the greatest motivator, right? But it's acute. So as soon as you're not afraid of death, or you're like, you've got a stent and you've been given, you know, you've been given your beta blockers and all the different drugs, then you're like, oh, you go back. Oh, I'm taking a cholesterol pill. I'll just eat shit. But what happens is their compliance drops. But people who are in community, where the shared values of the community are about nutrient density, not just food, but like conversation, love, safety, diverse thought, they change. Their change is sustainable because they're held by the love of the community. Makes sense.
Yeah.
Which is why, of course, you started the Sapiens.
I got into the community aspect too. Yeah. It's like, let's put my money where my mouth is. And I was doing all this online stuff. And like, I realized how important community was. I did some more thought experiments. I called it the Perfect Wednesday. And I asked a lot of people this. I can ask you now. What if you had $1 trillion, right? Just an arbitrary amount of money. What would your perfect Wednesday be? Not like your birthday or some special trip. And It's crazy how everyone has the same answer generally, but I can ask you, what would you do? Just random day. When would you wake up? How would you wake up? What would you do?
My answer would be is definitely different now than it would have been like 4 years ago. I would wake up, hang out with my son, my wife. Usually I get up before them. So like the perfect day, I'd get up before them. I'd be with the sunrise, have my coffee, work out, hang out with my son and wife, read, create, do something like that, hang out with friends, have a fire, you know, chill, talk, share food, dinner. And if I did that every day, that'd be...
You verbatim what I said and what almost everyone I've asked said that. They say they wake up with people around them. They work on something they care about, or they have some sort of morning routine. They share meals together, even the fire that, you know, have a bond, like have a fire with friends, share. This is exactly it. And that none of that costs any money, right? If you had the $1 trillion, that the day you described didn't require $1 trillion. I mean, of course it required some level of security of like, okay, you got your house paid for, you know, something like that. But it's almost free. So then you can think about your life where like what really matters, you know? It's like, even if you, of course I still chase success and I want to have money and I want to have nicer things and own a home. But that doesn't mean I'm not going to be happy until that happens. It changed my perspective of like what matters now. And I can have all that now before I have the $1 trillion.
Right.
Like I can do that. I can set up my life where I can have that perfect day before I even have all the money.
Yeah.
And part of it is really around actually the five pillars of being human. Of like having the good food, having the family around you, being, you know, in nature, just none of those. Yeah. It's not like the perfect Wednesday. People are like, yeah, then I use Instagram for 4 hours and then I put on a VR headset for 3 hours.
And then I go in my VR headset is a campsite.
Yeah. Yeah. So yeah, I love having these kind of thought experiments and thinking about like how you want to live and what really matters. And that kind of is this kind of sapient concept of just all these things that we've talked about are kind of this sapient concept. And I also have this concept of wholeness, whole and hollow. You're talking about like the food. Food's an easy example. Whole, like processed food is basically just hollow, right? We've tried to like take apart food. It's a lot of value add. It's actually just a lot of ways to make money. It's like take cheap ingredients and put them together into a food-like substance, but it's ultimately hollow. And I think that's the root cause of nutritional decline and chronic disease. A lot of chronic, obviously there's many factors in chronic disease, but the nutritional component is from eating the hollow food. Your body can't get enough of them. That's why people overeat. I mean, it's just like math. Like just think if you had like amount of protein and nutrients that your body needs, and then you fill it up with a bunch of extra trash, a bunch of empty calories that are seed oils, added sugar, refined grains, you're going to have to eat more of that food to get what your body actually needs, right? So of course you're going to gain weight.
That makes sense, yeah.
Right? It's like, it's just math. It's like your body is trying to get nutrients and the protein and it can't get there because you gave it the wrong food. And there's studies about this. It's called the protein leverage hypothesis. And doctors Robbenheimer and Simpson have been doing these studies forever, all different animals. And they found that all animals, they started with crickets actually. And then they did mice. They did all these different animals. And if you give them the food that they need, right, they know that if it has the correct amount of protein and nutrients and the correct amount of carbs and fat, whatever a mouse needs, they will eat. They're not counting calories. They will eat and they will be fine. And they have healthy offspring and they live a normal lifespan. Then they can take a different food and have less protein and nutrients, right? And have it more basically empty calories, too much energy from fats or carbs. They give them the same food, looks like the same pellets. The other group that eats the food without enough nutrients, they overeat the food and they became obese. They died earlier and they have less offspring. And they did the math and they overate by the number of calories that translates to like how much protein they needed.
Wow.
So they, you know what I mean? So say they need 20 grams of protein. They still ate 20 grams of protein in the low quality processed feed. They just had to eat more calories to get that 20 grams of protein. So this is what's happening to everyone. You're eating the hollow food. You're having to eat more of it. Even if you try, you can do any diet and lose weight temporarily, right? Because you just have your willpower. You're like, I'm going on vacation. I got my wedding. Yeah. I need to lose some weight. And you can eat anything. There's a guy that ate like a convenience store diet, the famous Twinkie diet, this professor. And he lost weight eating Twinkies and convenience store food. That doesn't mean that he disproves good nutrition because he felt terrible. He was a nightmare. He gained weight. Right. He, you know, like later he, you know, was a mess metabolically. But he did do it with pure willpower. But yeah, basically you need, humans just need to have a certain quality of food. And it's just whole foods, right? It's just animal-based foods plus other whole foods on the side. And that's all you really need.
Yeah, that's really interesting because, of course, you know, people go like, it's all about calories in, calories out. But that's not true. It's about the type of food you eat. It's about the quality. And I think of like that whole versus hollow. It's interesting because like social media, like your connections need to be whole versus hollow. You know, and it's fascinating because like I remember thinking like we think the ultimate achievement is to get, let's say, 100,000 followers on social media. But actually the most important question, the most important thing is to have someone to call when you need them. So it's like You could have all the followers in the world and all the social connections on social media in the world. But if you don't have someone to call, that will be more predictive of your mental health than your social media engagement.
It's exactly it. I was going to go there. The whole verse hall extends to everything.
Yeah.
100% with social media. It could be anything in life. Name something in life. Relationships, sex. There's whole verse hollow. You could sleep around. You could buy prostitutes. You could have one night stands. That is hollow. The whole is like true intimacy.
Yeah.
Right? Like whole verse, like anything, name something. And it's, you can see that modern society takes us away from wholeness. And it replaces it with a bunch of hollow things.
Yeah, which of course, then we are monetized to fill the hollow spaces, you know, which is wild. That's what gets monetized is the unconscious need for depth, for connection, for the wholeness, for the restoration of wholeness. Yeah, I was talking to my father-in-law about all the different layers of the things we're talking about like how these systems are corrupt, how all those things. And he said to me and my wife, well, how do you live if you can't trust anything? And I was thinking about that because there's a truth to that, right? Like if you live in constant conspiracy, lack of trust, there's actually it's almost like you're captured by the very beast no matter what. Either way, your life is about trying to figure out things that don't make sense. And I was thinking about it and I'm like, oh, yeah, but when you understand how a system works, that it doesn't work to try to actually make you healthier, then and you start to develop all of the five pillars you're talking about, you actually develop a sense of trust in yourself. So although you might not be able to trust all these quote-unquote authorities and systems, you actually can't be in relationship with those things and feel safe in your own body, right? Because like unconsciously, you know that an impossible burger is giving you nothing. Mm-hmm. Like your body's going like, what the fuck is this thing? Mm-hmm. And so you are like naturally seeking, as you said, like more food to try to get because the body's so smart. And so it's like, if we just return, like we think that, human systems, like we as humans are smarter, we can make food in a lab. Mm-hmm. The universe is so fucking brilliant. Like the irony, it's just like natural immunity versus injected immunity. It's like we said that would be better than natural immunity. It makes no sense. Like the complexity of the immune system is way beyond that. Anyways, yeah, it was really interesting because I think so many of us, when we awaken, we get consumed by the like, well, if that doesn't make sense, what else doesn't make sense? And then we get derailed. Mm-hmm. What do you think?
Well, yeah, that's goes back to my friend that told me, don't get derailed. Like, you're not going to like this. But I think you have to be at peace. It's so much better to understand what's going on, but not get derailed by it. And so, yes, I think part of what they want is for us to not trust anything and be confused. And one day they're saying this, the next day they're saying that. And then people throw up their hands and say, I don't know what to do. And there's anxiety and there's all this stuff.
Yeah.
But there's a way. Yeah. The people I know are more grounded in this, that they see what's going on. They can acknowledge that there's all these big corporations, big money, big power, people trying to control them, and then just accept it and what's the way forward is trust yourself, trust your community, be in charge of yourself. Part of the kind of woke ideology is it's more like outsourcing your problems to someone else, or it's not your fault. It's not your fault,
right,
you're fat.
Victim.
Yeah. Stuff. It's not your fault, you're fat. And I'm like, well, no, it's not really your fault because you've been misled.
Right.
Yes, you've been told the wrong things. You've been told it's just genetic. You've been told to just take a Ozempic. You've been told that just eat the food pyramid and you'll be fine. So if you take responsibility for yourself, it's kind of these two competing paradigms, right? It's like,
right,
go with the system or take your own responsibility. If the people I know that are powerful, who are doing, you know, good things, successful, at peace with the world, have just realized that the world around them, they can't control all of it, and control what you can, take control of your own health, take control of what you eat, your own relationships, and then you can move forward. And I think it's almost like a little parallel society we're creating.
Yeah.
And it's not like one little commune, although Austin,
right,
is a pretty cool little group of people, you know, getting together and doing some interesting things.
Yeah.
But still, it's not one little society. It's just everywhere around the world, there are these pockets of people that have woken up to this. They're not thrashing. I don't want people to be like, we're going to start a militia, you know, like we're going to take everyone down. It's more like, no, we've just taken personal responsibility. We're going to eat real food. I'm a bad consumer, right? I don't consume much from the system. I don't have sick care. I don't have a insurance plan. I don't buy food from the normal grocery stores. I don't buy a lot of products. I just go to my farmer's market and I get my own meat.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, I'm just not part of their system, but I'm not in a cave. It's
right.
not like I'm saying, oh man, we need to go back. Like the paleo thing is really good, but it's not perfect. It's like, I'm not saying we need to go follow every single rule of paleo diets or be like our ancestors and just, you know, club, you know, random objects and eat them, or random animals and eat them. We need to live in our normal world, knowing what we're up against and how to take care of ourselves. And yeah, I think we're going to almost create a new type of human where we have these strong, healthy people. And then there's going to be, I had this other thought experiment of like, what if we all live somewhere and then 100 years from now, the people from the normal society showed up and they're on the tour bus and they're on their rascal scooters. It's like Wall-E, right? Everyone's like overweight. They have like 5 medications on in their little pill, you know, little pill organizer, and they're taking Ozempic and they're just like, what are these people? They look so strong and healthy. That's what people say at the Sapien Center. They show up and like, everyone's just like glowing around here. Everyone's fit and they like got a little suntan. They're smart. They're well-adjusted. What's going on?
Yeah. And that getting to that space, it's weird that that's considered like lucky, special, you know, whatever it might be. But we all need to seek out community that's like that. And if it's not available, we create it. Because again, like the victim side of that is like, oh, but it doesn't exist in my neighborhood. Great. What an opportunity. Mm-hmm. Brian, this has been epic. Man, I'm so excited to go to Sapien Center on Saturday and do an event there. I'm super pumped about it. And I'm so excited we got to connect.
Like, absolutely.
Thanks so much for being here. And I'm curious, for all the people listening, watching, where can they find more of you and Food Lies and all the things?
Yeah, Food Lies on Instagram. It connects to everything else. And you can find out about the docuseries and, you know, all the stuff I'm doing.
Great, man. Thanks so much for everything that you do, for everything that you stand for, and for your very expressive voice on social media. I do appreciate it.
Thanks, Mark.
Thanks, Mark.